Let her go.
Good morning and welcome to your weekly high school sports roundup show. This is The Baseline, live from the waterfront studios of historic KGY, celebrating 100 years serving the community, coming up here early next month. I am Noel Wall, along with Olympian prep contributor Dave Weber. And Dave, my bracket is officially busted with the exit yesterday of Gonzaga's Bulldogs at the hands of Arkansas Razorbacks. I think Coach Few even looked a little stunned after that defeat. And worse yet, my fallback of rooting for another Pac-12, Arizona, was also eliminated by Houston. So there I am.
Yeah, the West didn't really hold up its end of the thing. The only one that's in there, UCLA, defeated another Western team, St. Mary's, to move on. So they kind of screwed us there.
Go ahead.
No, I have a soft spot for New Mexico State, and they nearly beat Arkansas the other day, so I'm looking at it now. It was a really terrible game. Both teams played bad, but NMSU had it. And now I'm looking at Arkansas going to the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Could have been the Aggies, so.
Yeah. Well, have no fear, basketball fans, because Washington does have a team in the Final Four. Not only that, Dave, we got a team playing for the national championship.
Yeah, we do. Western Washington with actually, a couple of local stars. Their leading scorer, of course, is Emma Duff, who used to play at Black Hills High School. And they also have Molly Olson from down the road in Napavine. So a little bit of the South Sound flavor on their team. First time ever that the Viking women have played for the national title. They go up against Glenville State from West Virginia this afternoon at 5 p.m. Game's being played in Birmingham, and it will be on CBS Sports Network, but we'll talk a lot about that later on.
Fantastic. And we're going to hear from Emma. You had a chance to talk to her, so we'll hear that. Also on today's show, the Olympia Bears are apparently fairly well thought of from the rumors I've heard. We are going to hear from Coach Derek Weldon and pitchers Sax Mattson, and I sure hope I don't mispronounce that later in the show, Tabor Fast and Rylan Hyder. You had a chance to talk with all those folks.
Well, all three of them are already committed to NC2A Division I institutions. Fast and Hader will be going out next year to Texas Tech and Washington State, respectively. And Sax Mattson's only a junior this year. He's already committed to WSU. So not a lot of times Coach Weldon couldn't think of any, and I can't think of any, that you're going to have three Division I prospects in the same pitching staff. And believe it or not, they've already pitched like four other guys this year. So they are deep. They've got those three. They've got a bunch of other kids that are good pitchers, good players in the field. 47 kids overall in the program. Olympia is, they're kind of turning into the Tumwater of baseball. You know, it's like Tumwater football, where they just have that depth and it just keeps on being good player after good player coming in there. So it's going to be exciting to watch Ole this year.
Yeah, they made a big run a couple of years ago. And in part of the interview we're not going to hear, he does talk about how they've got three or four pitchers that would be high school standouts if not for the three ahead of them.
So, yeah, it's always when you go to a high school game in any sport, there's always a bunch of guys out there and you're like, yeah, those are high school players. They're pretty good. They've been obviously playing the sport their whole life. They know what they're doing, but maybe weren't blessed with great athleticism, or they didn't stick to it enough to, you know, really work at it. And then there's the few that are just like, oh, wow, look at that guy. He's way better than everyone else.
Right.
And that's kind of what we're talking about. You got three pitchers like that. And then you've got the other guys that may turn into that. I'm not denigrating the rest of Olympia.
Sure.
They may develop into Division I prospects, but, you know, they're not there yet. But they're still good high school players. And you mix that together, and you've really got something going like they do. And he talks a little bit in the interview about the field players they have as well. It's not just all pitching. So, going to be, like I said, it's going to be interesting to see how far they can go. You mentioned a couple of years ago they made a great run. Last time there was a state tournament, they were the runners-up in 2019. So since that time, all spring sports got canceled in 2020. And last year there was no postseason. So that's a chance to actually go back right away to the most recent state tournament.
Yeah, loaded for bear are the Bears.
That's right.
As always, we have, so we'll hear about them later. Of course, in the, what did I say, towards the end of the show, because we are going to hear about the Western Washington Vikings in the third segment today. We're going to just break things up just a little bit, so stay tuned for that. As always, we just got a lot to talk about. We'll start with baseball. We'll start with Pope John Paul II, the Eagles. Boys, from what I see, only one game so far, but I'm not sure if that's true or not.
Well, it really isn't. No, I hate to correct you, but
well, please do.
They're now 2-1 in their most recent games. They beat Quilcene 6-4 at the Regional Athletic Complex, but then they got whopped by Crosspoint 17-1. So they are, but that still leaves them with a winning record. They're 2-1. And softball, that's one that I only have with one game. They opened their season with a narrow 1-0 home loss to Concordia Christian. And their next game will be against crosstown rival Northwest Christian at the Regional Athletic Complex Tuesday at 3:30.
All right. And that might be the first game for the Northwest Christian girls, as because I couldn't find anything. And meanwhile, the boys still looking for a win. And in fact, until last game, they were looking for a run.
Yeah, they got a few runs, but they gave up a bunch as well. They fell to 0-2 after losing on the road 26-5 at Forks. They're actually only down 9-2 entering the bottom of the fourth, but then they gave up 17 runs in the inning, and the game ended early via the mercy rule by the final score of 26-5. Interesting trivia in that game, though. Cooper Walker got the only hit for the Wolverines, and, you know, as old as I am, this guy goes back even farther than me, but at one point, the St. Louis Cardinals had a 8-time All-Star catcher named Walker Cooper.
Oh,
so the Wolverines were just the opposite of the great former player, and their game, their next game is going to be a 3 p.m. doubleheader on Tuesday at PL Willapa Valley, and as you mentioned, I haven't seen any results for softball. Could be sometimes at the smaller schools, they didn't get enough turnout to have a team. We'll find out about that if we have to make a call or two, so we don't just keep saying this week after
sure.
week. But yeah, no games recorded for them yet, even though they have some scheduled.
All right, moving up to 2B and the Rainier Mountaineers. Boys have been playing some bigger schools, and the schedule reflects it, or the record.
Yeah, they're 3-5. They lost to Yelm. They were pretty busy this week. 3-5 after losing to Yelm, splitting a doubleheader with Onalaska and beating Morton White Pass. And we'll just talk a little bit about yesterday's game and their 10-4 win over MWP. John Kenny led the way in the field with, it's not in the field, but at the plate with 3 hits and on the mound with 13 strikeouts. And Connor Mounts also had 3 Rainier hits. And they will travel to 1A rival Tenino for a 4 p.m. game today. So some good and some bad there, but the Rainiers have a win, and the Mountaineers have a win in their most recent outing.
There we go. The girls, meanwhile, have been outscoring their opponents.
They've been playing great. They upped their record to 3-0 with a pair of shutouts this week. They clobbered Mossy Rock 12-0, and then they got a very, very narrow 2-0 win yesterday over Tenino. And as most people realize, both of those teams have great pitchers. And it took 2 unearned runs in the 6th inning for Rainier to get the win. Bailey Yule, the Mountaineers pitcher, struck out 10 batters, had a double when she batted. And the Mountaineers have only yielded 1 run all season, and that was to 3A North Thurston. So only when they stepped up several levels above their own have they given up a run. We'll talk a bit more about Tenino when we get to them, but they had some good points in that game, even though they lost.
Yeah.
Track and field, Jeremiah Nubby, who is leading the discus throwers in the state, didn't quite match his season best, but he did win the discus and the shot put, and Thomas Ronnie won the triple jump. There was a 7-team meet yesterday between a random mix of 2B, 1A, and 1B schools, I guess it was, and that's the outcome from Rainier. The girls finished second in that meet, and they got wins from Selena Niemi in the 800. In the 3200, Isabella Holmes doubled up in the shot put and discus, and Acacia Murphy won the high jump.
Okay, very, very good. Always good to hear. Moving on to 1A, Tenino Beavers, the boys lost their opener, but they're on a win streak since then.
They are. They're 4-1 now. They won on the road against Goldendale Zilla and Castle Rock. I think technically the Zilla game was a neutral site, because I think it took place at Goldendale. But, yeah, winning streak going on. Tuesday's 15-6 route of the Castle Rock Rockets. Austin Gonia, Kellen Knox, and Easton Snyder all had two hits, while Cody Strawn struck out three in two hitless innings of relief. And they will, as we mentioned a second ago, they will host Rainier today at 4 o'clock. Kind of a rivalry. Doesn't have a name like Tenino's rivalry with Rochester does, but I always call it the road that runs between the two schools. I want to say 12, but I don't think that's right. So you drive around a lot. What's that road that runs between Tenino and Rainier?
It's not 12, but it's like 157 or 517. Or so. I'd have to look
whatever
it up.
Is. Yeah, that's what I always refer to it as, that rivalry. Yeah. But I don't think the schools do. That's my thing. But
right.
Meanwhile, softball, Tenino, a little bit surprising. They're 2-4, but they did lose to Yelm, which is a powerhouse in 3A, and Rainier in the game we were just talking about. And in that loss to the Mountaineers, how about this? Emily Baxter struck out 17 batters and lost the game.
Wow.
There's only 21 outs in a high school softball game. She struck out 17 of them, but those 200 runs came up to bite the Beavers in the sixth inning and ended up losing. And as they continue to dodge no level of opponent, they will travel to Puyallup for an 11 a.m. game tomorrow. Puyallup is 4A, of course, so the 1A school going on the road to play the 4A, that is the kind of the definition of playing anyone, anywhere, anytime. So
yeah,
let's hope that goes well for them. Soccer, they are have a winning record. They're 4-2, and they are on a three-game winning streak, having beaten Centralia, Hoquiam, and Eatonville, and they will host Raymond tonight at 6 p.m. on the black turf.
I was going to say, I wonder what color soccer ball do you use on a black turf? Do you use the regular white with black dots, or you use something pink or
orange? Now, I don't know. I mean, now I watch even international soccer, they'll be running out some yellow and pink ball. It's just like,
yeah,
I guess whatever the sponsored ball wants to trick up for you, that's what you use. So I'm sure they can find something that contrasts with the black turf, but just want to get a chance to say that we overuse that phrase during football season, but haven't had the chance during the winter, and so yeah. Now I'll just throw it out there now that we got soccer back in there. They did have a little track and field. There was a Rainier icebreaker meet last Saturday, which some other teams have competed since then, but Tenino has not, so we'll talk about that. Carson Shaw won the boys' 300-meter hurdles in that for Tenino, which finished dead in the middle of the pack. They finished 11th of 19 teams. Girls finished 17th. They didn't have anybody win an event, though, in that particular meet. Hopefully down the road they will, but not this week.
Okay. Well, very good. There is our first segment this morning as we are talking about spring sports here. We got a lot more coming up. The Olympia Bears off to a good start, both the boys and the girls. We are going to hear from boys coach Derek Weldon and pitchers Sax Mattson, Tabor Fast, and Ryan Heider. A little bit earlier than that in the show, third segment, we're going to hear Western Washington. Player Emma Duff, she used to play for Black Hills, but she is going to play for a national title tonight on national TV. That will be exciting. Dave talked to her, so we've got some of that coming up. But first, we have a word from our sponsors. We got a look at weather, some traffic from somebody who sounds to me like they're a little new to the area, so we're going to hear about that. Don't go away. There's more. You're listening to The Baseline on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
You're in good shape from Tacoma to Olympia on I-5 southbound. Be prepared for gaps of congestion in Spanaway on 7 northbound beginning at 159th Street. You have a rough drive in Lakewood on 512 westbound right after Steel Street. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm Ana Luisa Savis.
Sponsored by eBay Motors. Ray Magliozzi here. The tear in my driver's seat does have sentimental value since my butt's molded to fit it. But I'm ready for a new one from eBay Motors with all the right parts at the right prices. 122 million of them. Till then, I'll just scooch. eBay Motors, let's ride.
Is your first step in the morning painful? At the end of the workday, are your aching feet the only thing on your mind? At Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates, our orthotics are specially made devices designed to support and comfort your feet. Our doctors use orthotics to treat all kinds of foot and heel pain. If you have pain, make an appointment with a specialist here today. In foot and heel pain, call 360-754-FEET.
Helping you put your best foot forward.
Do it yourself? Since 1955, Cut Rate Auto Parts has been making it easier. From expert advice to a huge selection of parts at discount prices to their AutoBucks Rewards program, they're there for you. DIY is even easier with Cut Rate's Do It Yourself Plus. They'll help you hook up a new battery, test your alternator, install your new windshield wiper blades, or diagnose what that check engine light needs. Great prices, great value, and a little help with Do It Yourself Plus. Do it with them today at Elma, Aberdeen, Shelton, or Lacey, or check out CutRateAutoParts.com.
We got your part.
The legendary KLR 650 Dual Sport is back with an updated 652cc liquid-cooled single-cylinder engine, new all-digital multifunction instrumentation, new fuel injection system, new disc brakes, and an optional anti-lock braking system. Explore further with two special edition models, KLR 650 Traveler and KLR 650 Adventure. Kawasaki KLR 650. Escape, explore, envy.
Are you ready to escape and explore? Check out the Kawasaki KLR 650 at Paulson's Motorsports in Lacey, your home of the lifetime limited engine warranty.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Washington Army National Guard. Aired by the Washington State Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Olympia's greatest hits. 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
Let her go.
And welcome back this morning. You are with Dave Weber and myself, Noel Wall, on the baseline. KGY's own and Thurston County's only high school sports roundup show. Dave and I are here thanks to sponsors like McKinney's Appliance, Rob and the crew of Stock Maytag and Whirlpool Appliances. They're going to make your life easier every day of the week. McKinney's Appliance on Martin Way and Lacey and on Olympia's West Side. Also, Choice Regional Health Network. They are your partner for community health and services, and we are up to 2A in the Evergreen Conference, and we'll kick things off with the Shelton High Climbers. A couple of wins, a couple of losses since we spoke last, including home and away losses to WF West.
Yeah, they got swept there. They were able to defeat North Thurston, so they're 2-2, and in the win over the Rams was just kind of a rout at 9-0. Tyler Anderson and Wyatt Wagner each singled and doubled. And Tobin Dudley struck out six and gave up just two hits in 5 1/3 innings to get the win. And they will be facing a usually strong 3A team this afternoon at 4 p.m. when Timberline comes to town.
All right.
And going over to softball, same record, 2-2. They're at 500. They were at 500 last week at 1-1. And this time they lost to Rochester and beat Centralia. And in Wednesday's 11-7 defeat of the Tigers, Kayla Zembas drove in four runs with a pair of hits, while Danica Squire drove in two with two hits. Should have noted when their next game is, but I did not, so we'll have to just go straight to soccer. And in soccer, it is the High Climbers still looking for a win. They lost to WF West and Black Hills, so they're 0-2. They will host Aberdeen on Monday night at 7:30. Kind of a rivalry now. I don't know. Was that a rivalry when you used to cover Aberdeen, or is that something new because they're both in the Evergreen League.
It was a bit of a rivalry. Aberdeen and Shelton, yeah, has been.
And I guess you got two logging towns, if nothing else. But
yep.
In track and field, it was Shelton sweeping the girls and splitting the boys' meets in a triangular meet with Aberdeen and Centralia. That was on Tuesday. A couple of highlights for the high climbers. Caden Pearson was a double winner. He took the boys 100 and 200. The latter was a PR of 23.77, so his season's going well. And for the girls, Allie Clifton PR'd in the 800 at 237 and also claimed the 1600. So a couple of highlights for them in track and field.
All right, very good. Rochester Warriors, the boys, kind of a rough opening, one win in five starts.
Yeah, they lost to Montesano and Centralia most recently, and yesterday they lost 11-1 to the Tigers. Catcher Landon Hawes drove in the only Warriors run, and they will host Elma today at 4:30. So hopefully dropping down a class and playing a 1A team might make a difference. Softball's doing better, though. They upped their record to 3-1. They beat Shelton. They beat Black Hills. And in Wednesday's 9-7 win over the Wolves, Kaylee Demers drove in four runs with a double and a home run. Jessica Lindsay and Macy Flusch also had two hits. And soccer is 2-5. They beat Olympic in a non-conference game, but then they lost to Black Hills and WF West among EVCO competition. And they will host Aberdeen tonight at 7. And meanwhile, track and field, they lost both the boys and girls dual meet to Black Hills yesterday, despite Talon Betts winning the boys 100 and 200, as he so often does. So they do have one or two people who are excellent at track and field, but weren't able to get a win out of either the boys or girls dual meet.
Okay, and let's move on to Black Hills, where the boys baseball team 3-1 following a home and away split with Tumwater.
Yeah, that's a pretty big deal. You know, baseball is a different game. It's not one where you can expect to go undefeated if you're a good team, but Tumwater definitely has the is thought to have an edge on Black Hills, and so for the Wolves to get that win early in the season definitely will fire them up a little bit and give them some motivation to keep going at the top of the standings. 3-1 coming off one over Tumwater. Joseph Floyd fired a two-hit shutout in the Wolves' victory over the T-Birds, and Braden Bond and Parker Tamini both drove in runs. And they are going to stay busy. Played yesterday, got that win, and now they're going to travel to River Ridge for a non-conference game today at 4 p.m. Softball is 0-2, and they lost 9-7 to Rochester on Wednesday. Zoe Theophilus and Ella Goheen had three hits each in that game. And Zoe Theophilus, as people may remember, was part of Black Hills State Bowling Champions. And her older sister both saying that that motion from bowling was similar to pitching a softball. So that's why they're out there in bowling season. But
talk about cross training.
Yeah, cross training. You're firing a 12 to 16 pound ball instead of a little several ounce softball. So yeah, kind of like throwing the extra bat away when you're heading up to the plate.
Right.
So anyway, hopefully Zoe and her teammates will get a win here soon, but they're 0-2 right now. Soccer won a couple of games this week. They beat Rochester and Shelton. That evens the Wolves' record at 2-2. And speaking of their rivalry with Tumwater, they will host the T-Birds tonight at 7:30. And that used to just mean what color you wore on the turf at the district stadium. But as most people realize by now, several years ago, Black Hills got that nifty little football practice / soccer stadium going. And it is not as big as the district stadium, but it's lit and it has turf and it is a nice little venue. In fact, the Holy Town Artesians, one of the semi-pro soccer teams in the area, uses it at their home field as well. So that's where that game will be tonight. And sliding over to track and field, The Wolves swept their dual meets from Rochester, as I just mentioned a minute ago. Jerron Griffin tripled. He won the boys 800, 1600, and 3200. And that's a lot of running for me or you, Noel.
Yes, it is.
Teenage boys that are in great shape can go out there and not only run that far, but beat people.
Yeah.
I'd like to see myself just make it through 3200 without taking a few rests.
Yeah.
They also had some good performance in the throws. Austin Emsland claimed the shot and the discus. And on the girls' side, not unheard of, but a little bit more unique double, as Olivia Hesaw won both the girls' 300 hurdles and the javelin.
Wow, so, yeah.
Javelin, and throw. It's a weight throw, but it's also a very athletic event. So anytime you get the hurdlers and high jumpers throwing the javelin as well. So good job by Olivia.
All right. That's a lot of fun. Moving on to Tumwater, the boys are 3-1. They're going to hit I-5 South today.
They're going to do that. Go down to Camas at 4:30. But first, we'll talk about what they did earlier in the week. They are 3-1. They beat Prairie, another team to the south, and then they split that pair of games with Black Hills that we talked about. And we also talked about the good pitching performance from Joseph Floyd of Black Hills against the T-Birds. T-Birds also had a good pitching performance against Black Hills, as Jordan Hansen struck out 17 in the game that Tumwater won over Black Hills. So, you know, if you're scoring at home, they also have Ryan Orr, who's committed to Washington State. So it doesn't look like the T-Birds are lacking in the pitching department at all. And as we talked about, they go to 4A Camas today at 4:30. That's seeming to be like a rivalry that they take on in almost every sport now. They seem to play Camas.
It does, yes.
Must be a good relationship between the athletic directors, but it's really good for the T-Birds to get a little road trip in and play a team at a couple of higher levels. So see how that one turns out for them. Meanwhile, softball has not had a lot of trouble with its opposition. They are 2-0. They beat Capital 19-0 and Shelton 17-5. And this was several years ago, but, you know, Ashley Andrews is already the coach and they were doing well. And I went down to their practice to do a feature story on their team. They, during batting practice, they had players stationed beyond the fence to shag.
Oh boy.
assuming home runs. And there's a phrase that big league players use called pound for sound when they just go up in batting practice and they're just ripping at the ball, not really working on form, just trying to drive it as hard as they can. And that's what it was like down there. I mean, you're just hearing gunshots going off when they're hitting. So if this T-Bird unit is anything like that team was, you can see where those scores are coming from. It'll be interesting to see how that follows up as they play more games. But they will host Black Hills today at 4:30. So people can get a look at it and see how they do. And soccer, meanwhile, 3-3, which seems a little, not successful for the powerhouse program that Tumwater teams to be. But those losses have come to bigger schools. They beat Aberdeen this week, but then they lost to Timberline. And next up, they will be at Black Hills tonight, as we mentioned. So we'll see how they do in terms of getting a if they can get the lead in the EVCO and keep it.
Yeah.
In track and field, they went up against WF West yesterday, and they won both the boys and girls dual meets. Seth Weller, who we talked a lot about in football, is a good wide receiver, also was on the basketball team. So a three-sport guy, he won both boys' hurdles races yesterday, and Maki Odoms won both the long jump and the triple jump. On the girls' side, another athlete we talked about in basketball season, Natalie Sumrock, she won the shot put in javelin, and there's been some talk. She's committed to Western Colorado for basketball, but there is some idea that she might do both sports in college, so that'll be fun to watch as well. And Alyssa Duncan, another one who we talked about during volleyball season, but maybe better in track and field. She doubled in the long jump and triple jump in that meet, so yeah, Tumwater using athletes across different sports to great effect when it comes to track and field.
All right, that is fantastic. Good to hear. Well, that catches us up through 2A. Don't go away. We've got lots left to come. We will cover 3A and course, later on, the Olympia Bears. We're going to hear from their head coach and some of the pitchers on the team as well. Next, though, Western Washington Vikings play for the D2 National Basketball title tonight at 5 on CBS. The team features several Washington natives, including Emma Duff, who played right here for high school ball for Black Hills. We're going to hear from Emma, and we're also going to have other stuff to talk about as well. So don't go away. There's plenty more to come. You are on 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
You're in good shape from Tacoma to Olympia on I-5 southbound. Be prepared for gaps of congestion in Spanaway on 7 northbound beginning at 159th Street. You have a rough drive in Lakewood on 512 westbound right after Steel Street. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm Ana Luisa Estevez.
If you have COVID-19 tests at home, you've probably wondered, when should I use them? Sometimes are better than others. If you have COVID symptoms, take a test. If you've had an exposure but no symptoms, wait 5 days to test. If you want to be sure you don't have COVID before meeting up with others, test as shortly beforehand as possible. That's all there is to it. Just follow the directions in the package. To learn more, visit doh.wa.gov/testing. A message from the Washington State Department of Health.
Nothing brings the family together like a home-cooked meal. Let Whirlpool and Maytag appliances help you handle what the day brings. From smart cooking to dependable dishwashers, McKinney's Appliance has it all. With the largest selection of Whirlpool and Maytag appliances in the area, you're sure to find the perfect appliances for your cooking needs. Shop for the best appliances with the latest features at McKinney's Appliance today. McKinney's Appliance, serving Southwest Washington since 1972.
It's time to explore. Find your new adventure in your brand new 2022 Subaru Outback with 2.9% for up to 72 months. With standard all-wheel drive, the Subaru Outback is engineered to go anywhere. See all the colors of spring in a Subaru Outback. Whether it's down the road or across the country, Hanson Motors wants you to see it and experience it all.
Where will your new Subaru take you? Find yours at Hanson Subaru in the Olympia Auto Mall and at HansonSubaru.com.
Financing and approval credit through Subaru Motors Credit. Negotiable $150 down payment service fee may be added to the savings. Offer expires 3/31/2022.
Buying a home or new home construction, or better checking with the Timberland Bank Rewards Debit Card? We can help, because at Timberland, it's always banking made easy. Whether help at the bank or simplifying life through mobile and online convenience, Timberland is everywhere you are. Open an account, deposit checks, pay a person, or even apply to pre-qualify for a home loan at timberlandbank.com.
Banking made easy. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Timberland Bank. How can we help you?
A touch of morning patchy fog before changing to clouds and then changing to partly sunny skies this afternoon. Highs upper 50s, low 60s. Tonight, cloudy with a chance of rain overnight into tomorrow. 95.3 Olympia's
What is that? Is that the Hoop Talk bit? It is back once again. And you're listening to Hoop Talk very briefly on KGY because we have a little basketball to talk about here in the middle of the baseline. You are with Dave and Noel. Thanks to sponsors like Cut Rate Auto Parts. If you can't part with your car, and who can nowadays? Cut Rate has your car's part. Also, L&E Bottling. Did you know L&E is an offshoot of a company started by Llewellyn Charnisky's parents, Lewis and Ellen Des Moines? I'm not sure if I pronounced that right. They started L&E Bottling back in 1945 with just a couple of trucks, 5 employees, and a tiny warehouse. The company that Lewis and Ellen founded is still family-run 4 generations later. 70 vehicles, 75 employees, and a great big warehouse. Primarily Pepsi and Dr. Pepper brands, along with a dozen other products, including coffee service that we use right here at KGY. You can learn the whole story online at OlympiaPepsi.com. Lewis and Ellen, L&E Bottling. And we are here to talk about basketball again for a moment, Dave. And I think that a lot of people did not know that we have a team playing for a national championship today.
Well, people don't really pay that much attention to Division II unless there's a school nearby. I remember when I was the athletic director at Evergreen, we were in the NAIA, and we would always say when we were good, if we were threatening for a national championship or not national, but at least a bid to the national tournament, then we were, Olympia was a small town and everybody loved us. But when we weren't any good, we were a suburb and everybody drove up to watch the Huskies. So, yeah, it's kind of how small colleges, if you're in the area of the school, you really take them seriously and you root for them. But, you know, Western's always been good. They've been good in women's basketball. I think they made a final appearance in the men, may even have won the men's at some point a few years back, but never been in the championship game for the women. But they, you know, when you talk about people not realizing it's going on, there's a T-shirt that basketball people love to wear that says basketball never stops. And there's always some basketball going on, and there's always some basketball going on involving local players. And Emma Duff was one of the best local players when she played for Black Hills. She got the Olympians 2017 Player of the Year award. Also, we mentioned, we're not going to talk to her, but we mentioned Molly Olson from Napavine that is also on that Western team. Emma Duff is not just the local angle. She's also their leading scorer. She was a unanimous all GNAC choice and a honorable mention All-America. So not only a local player, but a very good player and a big part of their team as they face Glenville State this afternoon for that national championship.
Yeah, and actually, I will say there are some Western Washington fans around here. My son and his wife both graduated there. Our manager here, Nick Carey, was a graduate of Western Washington. And let's hear from Emma Duff right here. Oh, let me turn that volume up before I press the button. Here we go.
We're here with Emma Duff, who's playing tonight for Western Washington as they try for the NCAA Division II Women's National Championship against Glenville State. And Emma, when you look at the start of this season where the NCAA tournament was canceled in 20, last year you had a very short season. What was the team's feeling entering this year? What were you thinking your goals would be as you started the first real season in a while?
Well, I think at first we were pretty excited just because the last season it was so shortened. But then as we got going, I think we realized that, I mean, COVID was still impacting quite a bit of the basketball world. And so we had to make a lot of adjustments. There's a lot of cancellations. And so I think that hit us pretty abruptly, but luckily it didn't cancel everything like the year before. So I think we were just appreciated what we had and every time that we did get to be on the court.
Yeah, did you have any thought at all of not coming back for a fifth year?
Yeah, when we first found out that the NCAA was going to give us another year of eligibility, it definitely was like something I had to think about. I talked with my family, talked with my brother, and he pretty much told me, like, there's no rush to get out of college. And, I mean, you're not going to get this opportunity back. And to play a college sport is just such an opportunity. So I think it was a pretty quick decision. But at the same time, I mean, Kelsey Rogers and Madison Coleman, they were two of the seniors on that team that decided to not return. And, I mean, those are two of my good friends. So seeing them leave, it was definitely like, oh, maybe I will go, maybe not. But luckily Gracie and Danny both stuck around too, which was a big decision that made me want to stay as well. So
Wednesday night's game, you guys played North Georgia, and it was a tight game throughout the first half. And then you guys kind of started pulling away once the second half got underway. What did you start to do in that game that made the difference in being able to reach the final?
I think the second half, I mean, having Brooke back from she had two early fouls in the first quarter. She definitely makes a difference. Her post defense is amazing, and she just works really hard and is a great scorer. But, I mean, we had people step up that game. We had a lot of contribution. We have a deep team, and everyone just stepped up and did what it took. And, I mean, Maddie Granboy, she's a freshman that comes in and just locks people up on defense and knows her role. And I think that when we have people buying into their role, it makes it a tough team to stop.
And then you played Glenville State for the championship at 5 p.m. on CBS Sports Network for people who want to watch. What do you know about them? Have you been able to see them during the week that you've been back there?
Yeah, we watched them a little bit before our game, and then obviously been watching film. They're a good team, fast-paced, looking to press, and um, just score in transition, which I think we've seen a little bit of that throughout the GNAC season. So I think we're a little bit prepared, but obviously they're really high level competition, and I think it's going to be a good challenge for us.
You've been a key part of that team. I don't know how many people around our area realize it. You are the leading scorer, your first team All-GNAC, Honorable Mention All-American. How much have you grown as a player? What do you do now that people in Thurston County who just saw you in high school didn't see?
I mean, thinking back to me as a senior in high school, I don't think I played a lot of defense. And I think once I got to Western, the program that's very focused on defense. So I think that's been a big change in my game. And then also just getting bigger and stronger and my ability to now kind of play some four position. I can post up more than I definitely did in high school. And so I think, yeah, just like the strength and ability to play more positions probably has changed since high school.
So that kind of brings us to the future. I mean, you play your last game. Do you have any interest in playing overseas? Or are you going to go straight into a career, grad school? What is next for you?
I'm not really sure. I've been getting this question a lot, and I think right now I've just been trying to enjoy the moment. I have one more quarter of school after this, so I'll graduate in the spring, and then I think once this is all done, I'll start to think more about that. Definitely been talk about playing overseas, and I think at this point it would be really cool to just get out of Washington and travel and get to see other things and experience a different way of life.
Yeah, what are you majoring in? What is your, when basketball stops, whenever that may be, what is your career goal?
I'm an environmental science major with a minor in geographic information systems. So I'm not really sure. I think it can take me a lot of different ways. And I think the next step would probably be grad school at some point.
I'm glad you were able to take the time to talk just a few hours before the championship game. Hopefully you guys can beat Glenville and hoist the trophy and do it on national TV.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate talking to you.
All right, that is Emma Duff. She was playing for Black Hills just a few years ago. Currently plays for the Western Washington Vikings, and as you heard right there, they are playing for the national title tonight on CBS. And Dave, what a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, one of the part that we couldn't squeeze in there on the interview that I thought was interesting too is asking her about what she remembers from high school that kept her moving and kept her going forward. And she mentioned the Black Hills losing Maisie Williams to injury during the state tournament and how that reminded her to always appreciate, you know, the opportunity to be out there and doing it. And that was something that a lot of people remember because that was a player, Maisie, who got hurt a lot and
yep.
didn't get to play too much. But, you know, you look at her and you look at Emma, and it's like there is that opportunity for one and not for the other. So that was kind of interesting. I was thinking she was going to say something more along the lines of a big win over somebody. But so definitely a player that thinks about, you know, where she is and how she got there, and really be nice. You know, we're not supposed to root in the media, no cheering in the press box.
Right.
it would sure be great to see Western win tonight. I'll just go on ahead and say that.
Yeah, it sure would. And a lot of fun to think about, you know, playing overseas. Got to say, her brother gave her great advice, apparently. And fun to think about playing overseas. I can't remember the guy's name, but there was a kid from Montesano, a redheaded basketball player that, you know, he wound up playing overseas. And I don't think he ever went to Europe, but he went to Australia. And he was a star for several years in Australia. He used to come back and, you know, he'd have a poster that has him on it and the team schedule and stuff
yeah.
like that. You know,
so. Well, you know, Australia, it's a very interesting place because they have their big league, the national, I think it's called the National Basketball League, not the association like we do, but it's very similar. That takes place in the winter to match up with the rest of the world, but our winter. And
yeah.
Then they have these state leagues that take place over the summer, which is really their winter, so that's when they would normally play basketball. And there is a lot of ball all over Australia. You're right. It's just a really exciting place for basketball, and it's turned out to be, you know, in the NBA now, there's a ton of Australians. Of course, the people around here probably remember most is a women's player, Lauren Jackson, who was
right.
a star for the Storm for so many years. But you know, there's Matthew Dellavedova, who was on those Cleveland teams that used to lose to the Warriors every year. That's the way I put it anyway. You know, St. Mary's, where Matthew went to college, they're loaded with Australians and New Zealanders. So, yeah, that's a place to be. You know, players have gone to play, you know, all over Europe. It's you know, with the fall of the Iron Curtain, which, of course, was many, many years ago. But, you know, a lot of countries that we think of, still us older people think of as, you know, part of some mysterious area, they're now wide open. And a lot of people go play in Slovenia, Slovakia, yes. Hungary, places like that. In fact, they actually had to not evacuate, but some Americans had to get themselves quickly out of Ukraine when the war started because there were some Americans playing there. So a lot of opportunities, a lot of places to go. And, you know, had a little bit of that when my daughter played in Germany and in the UK, and she would send back some, you know, Emma talked about seeing the world and getting out of Washington. One of my favorite bits of videotape ever is my daughter went to some sort of dinner in the north of England, right near Scotland, and they had haggis for dinner.
Oh, wonderful.
And the first portion that came in that was going to the head table, bag wipers were before and after it.
Oh my goodness.
Ceremonially brought in. So, I mean, nothing to do with basketball, but just something you'd never see if you hadn't have done that, you know, if you hadn't have gone over there to play. So, you know, a lot of people, some people don't like it. There's a TV personality up in Seattle now named Alyssa Charleston that played for Idaho, and she went to Luxembourg. Couldn't stand it. You know, couldn't wait to get home. Never went back. So, you know, but it's a learning experience, whether you like it or not. It'd be great to see any player get a chance to do it.
Yes. Yes, it would. Tonight, 5 o'clock, CBS. Western Washington plays for the National Women's D2 basketball title. Don't go away. We do have 3A baseball plus Olympia as well. We're going to hear from the coach and some of the pitchers on that team because they're off to a hot start. So we got all of that and more. Don't go away. First, though, as always, traffic, weather, word from our sponsors. It's 95.3 Olympia's KGY.
KGY South Sound traffic.
You're in good shape from Tacoma to Olympia on I-5 southbound. Be prepared for gaps of congestion and Spanaway on 7 northbound beginning at 159th Street. You have a rough drive in Lakewood on 512 westbound right after Steel Street. That's the latest from South Sound Traffic Control. I'm Ana Luisa Savis.
Sponsored by Mattress Firm. Mattress Firm's best deals are happening now. Save up to $500 on top-selling brands. Plus, get a free adjustable base with qualifying purchases. And don't forget hot buys like up to 50% off select queen beds. Shop now and save.
Coffee with Ken Balsley.
Hey, this is Ken Balsley here. Every Sunday morning on Coffee with Ken, I'll talk to the people that make our community run. Those government regulators, elected officials, you know, those that make our community what it is today. My guest Sunday morning on Coffee with Ken is Vicki Lamoureux, who is the Assistant Superintendent for Instruction at the North Thurston Public Schools, and we spend most of the time talking about balanced calendar. So fill up your coffee cup. You don't want to miss a minute of it. That's Sunday morning, 8 a.m.
Is that the sound of an ooey gooey cheesy crunchy slice of P-I-Z-Z-A? Obviously. But as good as that sounds, we think it can get even better. Oh yeah, that's the sound of a freshly opened fizz-filled Pepsi. The only thing that can take this flavor medley of crunchy dough, mouth-watering cheese, and savory sauce to the next level. How about another bite? Pepsi and pizza sound like a match made in heaven and taste even better. Pizza, better with Pepsi. That's what I like.
Extreme Auto Outfitters, formerly known as Linex Olympia. The same great staff and service with all the adventurous upgrades from top brands that your rig needs, including Linex. Window tinting, bed liners, canopies, custom jobs, and accessories. ARE and RSI Smart Cap available. Extreme Auto Outfitters has the products that perfectly fit your needs, budget, and lifestyle. When you need extreme, you need Extreme Auto Outfitters on Capitol Boulevard in Tumwater.
You've decided it's time. The junk has to go now. Call G3 Junk Removal with their one-hour response pledge. During business hours, you'll get a call back within an hour, a quote the same day. And that's just the start. Their white glove treatment eliminates your problem quickly and with respect. What can be recycled never sees a landfill. Reusables are donated to local charities. G3 Junk Removal Service. Check their reviews, then make the call. G3 Junk Removal. Look them up online or on Facebook and get it handled now.
Okay, let's have a serious discussion. You got hurt on the job, and now you can't work. Or maybe you were in a crash, and it wasn't your fault. Now you're dealing with an insurance company. You're losing wages, and the medical bills are piling up. Will the insurance money last as long as your pain and disability? What if medical bills pop up down the line that you didn't foresee? Who's going to pay for that? Another thing, did you read the fine print? Did it make any sense at all? Maybe it's time to get a good law firm, one that's limited its practice to victims of workplace injuries and car accidents for over 40 years. A firm like Putnam Lee Potvin Daly, Catherine Potvin, Dustin Daly, and Laura Fedarko. They know what they're doing. So much so, they've been awarded honors as super lawyers and best lawyers of America. They're on your side. They'll fight for you to make things right. Don't be bullied by insurance companies. That's just adding insult to injury. Call award-winning attorneys Putnam Lieb Potvin Daly today at 800-225-4529 or check PUTNAMLIEB.com.
Sports fans, Spin Tees Screen Print and Graphics gives you the very best printing and embroidery. Perfect for teams, schools, companies, or special events. Get excellent quality, custom design, quick turnaround, and low pricing. Count on Spin Tees for quality brands like Port Authority, Sport Tech, and District Threads. Easy ordering and results you'll love. 1025 Black Lake Boulevard in Olympia, online at SpinTeesPrints.com. Friend Spin Tees on Facebook.
Hey, it's Deion Sanders. They call me Coach Prime now. You already know Walmart is your one-stop shop for all those game day essentials. Now, Walmart and Gillette Labs are teaming up to take your game day to the next level. You got to swing by the shave aisle to snag the new Gillette Labs razor and get that W, man.
The new Gillette Labs with exfoliating bar for a shave as quick and easy as washing your face.
Flowers aren't exactly in full bloom, but the deals at Kohl's are. Right now, you can get pet gears for under $15, sandals for everyone in the family for just $24.99, and Black & Decker kitchen appliances for less than $30. You can also earn Kohl's cash and get it all with free store pickup. Things are looking brighter already. Flex Styles offers in March 27th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Did you know that United Healthcare helps connect you to doctors and therapists with 24/7 access to virtual care?
So I could have therapy from my couch?
Yep.
Or a doctor appointment from my car?
If you wanted to.
Wait, you're right. I don't even like when people see me sing in the car. Couch appointment it is.
Virtual visits are just one of the ways United Healthcare helps connect you to better health. Learn more at UHC.com. Plan benefits may vary.
I'm Peter Greenberg, and this is today's Ion Travel Minute. The pandemic created a radical change in the American workforce as we went from working from an office to working from home to working from anywhere. And as the American workforce moved, the Great Migration resulted in some wild swings in travel costs as well as housing costs. Rent prices are back up. The median monthly cost for a one-bedroom apartment is now more than 11% higher than last year. Which U.S. city saw the biggest spike? Four cities in Florida. Jacksonville, West Palm Beach, Miami, and Florida. Then Portland, Oregon, up 29%. Newark, New Jersey, and New York City, up 35%. The wildest increase? Austin, Texas, at 40%. For more information, visit petergreenberg.com. I'm Peter Greenberg, and this is today's Ion Travel Minute.
Brought to you by the Bank of America Customized Cash Rewards Credit Card. Whether you're dining out, buying groceries, or just shopping online, when you shop with your B of A Customized Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can choose to earn up to 3% cash back on your online shopping.
Let her go.
And we are back. Welcome back to the Baseline. Dave Weber and myself, Noel Wall. And if somebody would sneak into Nick's office and change the radio dial to the other station, I would appreciate it because we're going long today. And we're going long thanks to people like Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates, celebrating 20 years of helping patients get up and moving and maintaining good health. You can find them online at anklefoot.net. Spin Tees, Spin Tees Prints, they do excellent work, and you can find them at their new location behind Minuteman Press in West Olympia, or look online at SpinTeesPrints.com. And happy to have back for baseball season Putnam Lee Potvin Daly, taking the insult out of injury. They are premier workers' compensation and car accident attorneys. The reason we're going along is because we got all the three A's to talk about, and then we've got Olympia, including sound from the coach and from some of the pitchers, and we better get going. Let's go to 3A. We'll start with River Ridge, where the Hawks boys, I just see as 1-1 heading into Black Hills game today.
Well, I've got them at 2-2. They scored a two-game series earlier in the week with Gig Harbor. And as you mentioned, they'll host Black Hills today. Softball, they're 1-3. They lost to Auburn, Mountain View, and Peninsula. And their next home game will be on Monday at 4 against Yelm. So it doesn't get any easier for the Ridge girls. Soccer has one of those soccer-type records. They're 1-3-2. And they were undefeated at 1-0-2, but they took losses this week to North Thurston, Timberline, and Central Kitsap. And up next for them is a visit from one of those 4A powers down south. Union comes to town to play on Monday night at 6 at South Sound Stadium. And track and field lost both ends of a dual meet to Capital. But on the boys' side, Joseph Zilla did claim both the hurdle races.
All right. Very good. North Thurston, the Rams, boys and girls both off to slow starts.
Yeah, baseball 2-4. They lost to Shelton and Capital this week. Good pitching performance yesterday, extra inning 5-4 defeat to the Cougars. But Caden Melzer gave up just 4 hits and struck out 6 before giving way to a reliever for the 8th inning. And they will host Chief Self tomorrow at 1 o'clock, kind of an unusual matchup there. Softball, winless in 4 games. They lost to Yelm, Kelso, and Gig Harbor this week. They will go to Central Kitsap on Monday at 5. Soccer, though, stayed over 500. They're 3-2. They beat Riverage and lost to Timberline. And the Rams will next play Tuesday at Gig Harbor at 7. And there was a triangular track meet with Yelm and Timberline. Rosemary Gregg won both the 1600 and 3200 for the Rams in that one.
Okay, moving on. Timberline Blazers. I may not have them complete, but I got them batting 500 at 2-2 and facing 3-2 Shelton today.
Well, actually, they've batted a little bit better than that, come through with a couple of extra hits. They're 4-2.
Oh, good.
And they lost to Olympia and Central Kitsap, but then they beat Central Kitsap in the second battle, as people have probably picked up on, in their league, in the 3A South Sound, and also in the EVCO. Teams are playing a series where they play home against a team and then back, and then go away to that same team in the same week, rather than the traditional double round robin that you'll see in basketball. They're making it more like Major League Baseball, I guess. Meanwhile, softball is 1-4, kind of a surprise. They've been really good lately. The loss to Gig Harbor and Yelm, which, of course, a couple of good teams. In the defeat to the Tides, Jasmine Polanco homered and singled, while Tori Trotter also had 2 hits. Soccer's on a tear. They're 4-3, and they beat Water, River Ridge, and North Thurston in succession. And that's a couple of champions from last year in Tumwater and River Ridge. So good streak for the Blazers. They're 4-3, so you can't say they're dominating, but their recent results have been awesome.
Yeah.
And they will host Central Kitsap. That will be on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. And in that same three-way track meet we talked about with the Elma North Thurston, Abigail Pedro won the shot and discus for Timberline's girls, and Destiny Robertson, who is known as a great soccer defender, she claimed the 100 meters and the long jump.
Ah, very good. And moving to Yelm, we're going to hear more about that track meet, I'm sure. Boys off to a little bit of a slow start, but the girls doing pretty well.
Yeah, baseball fell to 1-4. They beat Rainier in a non-league game, but they got swept in a one of those series by Peninsula. And they will play at Gig Harbor Tuesday at 4. Softball, though, off to a 3-0 start. Decisive wins over North Thurston, Tenino, and Timberline. And in yesterday's 10-3 win over the Blazers, Jessica Jennings and Molly Embry each had 2 hits, while Vivian Watts pitched a complete game. And they are going to have a busy weekend. They're going to go to a showcase up at Bellevue College. They will play Ellensburg and East Valley tonight at 5 and 7 at Bellevue, and then Willapa Valley and Jackson tomorrow at 1:15 and 3:15, but those games will be at Auburn Riverside. So busy busy weekend to the north.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it does. Some teams from out of the area you wouldn't normally play.
Yep.
And meanwhile, soccer, though, is struggling a little bit. They're 0-5-1. They tied Capital and lost to Peninsula this week. And they will travel to Central Kitsap tonight at 7. And as you guessed correctly, there is a little bit more from that triangular track meet with North Thurston and Timberline. Ethan Kuhn won the 800 and the 1600. Braden Platt won the shot put and javelin. And only winning one event was Kyler Ronquillo, but he jumped 21.9 in the long jump.
That's a ways.
And it is. That leads 3A statewide and is third for all divisions behind a 22.7 attempt by Jackson Clough of West Valley of Yakima that leads the state right now. So Kyler Ronquillo, also, of course, known as a football player, but he is good in a variety of the jumps. He does that. And he also competes in the pole vault. So those are two slightly different events. I guess they both require a powerful run-up. So there's a little similarity, but nice jump for him at 21.9.
Yeah, very, very good. All right, we'll move on to Capital Cougars. I'm not sure I see that the boys have played since we talked last week. I know they're going to face Lake Washington tomorrow afternoon, though.
They are. That'll be at 2:00 at home. But meanwhile, yeah, they are 2-4. They lost to Juanita and North Thurston, but then they got a win over the Rams in the second game of the series in dramatic fashion. Blake Ostrander got a single in the extra inning to score Gavin Lawson from second. And that was a walk-off to give the Cougars a 5-4 win over North Thurston. So dramatic ending to that. And then they will play Lake Washington at 2 p.m. tomorrow. Is that the Kangaroos?
Oh.
They're the Kangaroos.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Nickname coming to town. Softball is also below 500. They're 1-3. They've lost three straight now to Tumwater, Franklin Pierce, and Central Kitsap, all by at least 10 runs. So they have been the definition of struggling. They will play at Montesano tomorrow at 2, and that's dropping down a couple of enrollment classifications. But if I'm not mistaken, Montesano is pretty good. So
I was going to say that area usually has a pretty strong program.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago watching when Rochester was still 1A, Monty came out to Rochester and played a doubleheader, and it was a pretty big deal. So we'll see how the Cougars do in that one. Boys soccer still looking for a win. They're 0-1-2. They tied Yelm. And they will play soccer at Peninsula on Tuesday at 7. They had a dual track meet with River Ridge, and they swept it, boys and girls. The only multiple winner was Sean Jackson, who won the boys 100 and 200.
All right, very good. And that brings us up to 4A. We have been teasing the Olympia Bear boys team all show long, but let's start with the girls, who opened perfect in five starts.
Yeah, they're 5-0. They had a trio of victories this week over Graham Kapowsin, Emerald Ridge, and Sumner. And in their 7-0 South Puget Sound League opening win over GK on Monday, sophomore Sammy Potvin fired a three-hit shutout. She struck out how many? 16 batters.
Wow.
So we had Emily Baxter from Tenino striking out 17. Sammy Potvin with 16. Looks like we got some pitchers in the area this year.
Yeah.
And Olympia will travel to Bethel for a 4 p.m. game on Monday. You want me to keep going through soccer and save the boys to the very end?
Sure. Let's do that.
All right. So soccer's 3-2. They lost to Lewis and Clark and to Curtis before beating South Kitsap. And in a dual track meets at home on Wednesday, the Bears just absolutely crushed Bethel. They had over 100 points, and Bethel was in the 20s. So very decisive victory in both of the genders. Connor Johnson was a double winner for the boys in the 200 and 400. Notre Dame-bound Ethan Coleman had a PR of 410.1 in the 1600. And on the girls' side, Samantha Engelken tripled. She won both hurdles races and the long jump. And Abel Wolin, who we talked about last week for making the all-area girls basketball team, she won both the 200 and the 400. No surprise there. People have been commenting this year that she is far more focused on track and field and maybe headed that way for college. So we'll see how that goes. But nice couple of victories for her in that dual meet.
All right. Very, very good. That does bring us finally to the Olympia Bear boys. And yeah, as I said earlier, with my ear to the ground, I hear they're fairly highly regarded. They did open with a set of wins.
They did, and their most recent victory was 5-2 over Emerald Ridge on Tuesday. And shortstop Gabe Downing, we've talked about him in football season, he had two hits and two RBIs, while Tabor Fast and Rylan Heider, two of the guys we're going to hear from, they combined on a two-hitter in that game. And they will play at Graham Kapowsin today at 4 o'clock. A lot of good teams in the SPSL, but Olympia has kind of an edge with their pitching. So we will see how that season works its way out.
All right. And you did have a chance to talk to Coach Derek Weldon and the pitchers. We're going to start right now with head coach Weldon.
I can't recall too many other teams that have had three Division I commits pitching for them at the same time in this area.
I've never had it before. You know, this is certainly the deepest staff we've ever had.
So other than the pitching, what's good about this group?
It's a pretty deep lineup, quite a bit of versatility. I think we can really defend as well, you know, and so, you know, it's, you know, we if we can pitch and defend, if we can do enough offensively, you know, I think we'll have a chance to win a lot of ball games. And I do, and when I say do enough offensively, I think we have guys in lineup that I think we can be very, very productive offensively. It's just a matter of kind of figuring out who we are offensively. You know, Tabor is going to be in the middle of our order.
Where will he play when he's down on the mound?
Right field. I mean, all three of those guys will be in the lineup, and we expect those guys to contribute offensively. And then, you know, I think there's a couple of young guys, you know, Logan Shepherd and Devin Nickel, who have been solid thus far, and we expect more out of. And, you know, we have a freshman this year that's starting at third base for us that I would have, someone asked me before the year if he had any chance to play varsity. I said no. And I went, what percent? I said zero. And then after like our sixth or seventh practice, I sent a reply to that text, and I said 100%.
Yeah.
Because he's just that good. Like, he's just kind of taking it, you know.
Who's that?
His name's Trace Pruitt. Very, very solid, and he'll throw some for us too. I mean, he's a freshman that's 82, 84, and can spin it and can really pitch.
About these three guys, talk a little bit about each one.
Yeah, so, I mean, Heider's thrown the most for us. Right. Heider was, he threw 15, 20 innings as a freshman on the 2019 team, and he'll be mid to upper 80s, and tremendous pitchability, slider, very good slider. His best, you know, maybe his best secondary is his changeup, but he doesn't get to throw it a lot because, you know, his velocity is so good at this level that it doesn't make a lot of sense to throw the changeup.
I was just going to ask you that, yeah.
But it's probably his best secondary. His slider is really good. It's probably his best secondary. He'll just fill his zone up, very, very efficient. Tabor is, you know, Tabor is the most electric as far as stuff. He'll be upper 80s, low 90s. It's the hand explodes. The ball explodes out of the hand, and it can spin it, throw strikes, like, and then sacks will be, you know, low to mid 80s, three pitch mix, tremendous competitor on the mound, and so, you know, all of them have elite stuff, I mean, there's a reason why they're, you know, either signed or committed to the schools. Or,
right. Sacks is a junior, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else you want to say about the team?
I mean, I think another unique thing is, you know, this group has an unbelievable amount of, like, veteran senior leadership. You know, our senior group, we have 9 seniors, and they're just, it's phenomenal, right? Like, phenomenal kids. Besides, you know, the handful that are going to play, you know, college baseball, like, kids that are going to be amazing citizens and amazing community members and amazing fathers and husbands. Yeah. Just like, just an awesome group, you know.
So you mentioned 9 seniors, but it sounds also like you're not going to be lacking next year. It seems like you've got a group already coming up.
Yeah, our sophomore and junior classes are huge and very deep. And so, like, even, like, you know, I think most of our lineups at this point have been, you know, I think, you know, 4 to 5 seniors, 4 to, you know, I think 4 juniors, a sophomore, a freshman, you know, mixed in there. And, you know, our JV has, you know, a ton of depth. Like, you know, I think our, you know, it's, you know, like I told parents early on, like our early season stuff is, you know, there's going to be a lot of juniors that are on JV that another, you know, the year would be varsity players and varsity contributors, and there would be a lot of sophomores that are on C team because of that very same reason. We just have a lot of depth in those upper classes, you know. So,
yeah, very good. Well, let me go talk to these guys.
Thank you.
That is Olympic coach Derek Weldon of the baseball team. And here are those standout pitchers, Sax Mattson, Tabor Fast, and Rylan Hyder.
So how does it finally feel to have an actual real season to play after the last couple of years where it was either a shortened season or no season?
Well, I'm Rylan, and definitely getting cut short two seasons really kind of sucked. And you could feel it when we came out this year as a whole that we were ready and eager to bite at the bit and get back to a full regular season.
The last time there was a state tournament, Olympia was in the final game, and you were there for that. What makes this team a possibility to go that far?
My name's Sax. Yeah. I was an eighth grader when they made it, so I wasn't even here. But just looking at the roster then versus now, we have a lot more talent. And Coach Walton has told us multiple times, we have not done anything yet, so we know we still have a lot to prove ourselves. Just with more talent, I think that we'll be back there again.
Let's just start here, Sax. You're a junior. You already committed to Washington State. Why did you pick WSU?
I picked Washington State just for the program that they're building. I really like Coach Claggett, Coach Davis, Coach Green with what they're doing with the program, as well as the facilities. I really like how they're building the facilities because that was one of the things I was looking for. And so they really fit the criteria for me to go there, and I liked the pick, so that's why I went there.
Do you look up these two guys and some other seniors and see how they do things and emulate them a little bit?
For sure, yeah. Tabor and I, we work out together down at Rook, and I think we push each other to be the best we can and see how he works and what he's done. I mean, obviously he throws 93, 94, so I look at him and just see what I need to do and try to follow that, I guess.
And with such a great senior class all the way through this year, I mean, it's kind of early to do this, but you look at next season and say, we're going to be just as good as we are this year because...
I think we'll be just as good as we are this year because we have a group of guys. We still are young in the field. Pitching-wise, won't be as deep, but I think that's okay because we watched what happened in 2019 with that group. We just have to follow what Coach Weldon says and stick to the plan, and we'll be just fine.
Tabor, how frustrating was it not be able to play? I mean, I know you probably played travel ball and so forth, but you could play in high school.
It was very frustrating. I mean, under the circumstances, it was... with the broken thumb and all that stuff and the transfer rule and all that. I mean, it was extremely frustrating.
And obviously you come from a quote-unquote name family in the area of sports. Your grandfather played in the big leagues.
Yep.
How much has that helped and or hurt? Is there pressure on you?
No pressure on me. You know, they've let me do my thing. I got a lot of support behind me and my family. So, I mean, they've taught me a lot how to play this game and how to just really get after it. So it's a lot of support.
Yeah. How did Texas Tech find you?
So back in the eighth grade, they actually came out to one of my practices for summer ball, and all the thanks goes out to my summer ball coach Steve Avila. He really hooked me up with Texas Tech, and it's a big thanks to him.
What do you do when you're on the mound? How do you try to mix it up? What are your pitches, and how do you?
I mean, I love to mix in all my pitches. I mean, the main focus for me is executing the pitch that's given to me. You know, I mean, I want to be consistent on the mound. I want to get guys out, and I want to be like, if he gives me a pitch to throw, I want to do it with intent. I want to throw that pitch with intent.
So, Sax, what do you throw? What's your...
I'm fastball, curveball, change, and I really like working the curve when I need it. But for me, I just think throw everything as hard as I can, throw everything the same arm speed, and so I can be effective with all three pitches when I need them.
And, Rylan, you have the most experience with the varsity level of anyone of this group anyway, and you guys have a ton of pitches. You feel like a leadership role, even though these guys are as good as they are, do you still feel like you're kind of coming out there and I went to state and I did do these things in the past?
I definitely feel a leadership role, but I also feel like with all these young guys coming up with the talent they have, is I still have to prove myself every day I step out there. And I just hope that some of the younger guys that aren't quite there yet can look up to me, and I hope that I show a good role model for them.
And how did you pick Washington State?
With all the decisions I had, I just felt like it was the best program that they're building with their new coaching staff, and I felt like it was the best fit for me college-wise, and I really liked Pullman as a campus. And
okay, so all you guys are playing two ways here. You're all playing outfield when you don't pitch. Any thought of trying to do that in college for any of you?
I actually am committed for a two-way.
Two-way?
Two-way at Texas Tech. So I'm extremely, extremely thankful that I get that opportunity to go play there as a two-way. So yeah.
Also an outfielder.
Also an outfielder, and yep.
Very good. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sax Mattson, Tabor Fast, and Rylan Hyder will all pitch for Olympia. Dave, that's a promising season coming up, I think.
Yeah, it is. You know, I'm trying to think of the caption would be, but it reminded me when I was talking to him, it reminded me of the old, I don't know if you collected baseball cards when you're little, and I don't know if they still make these kind of cards, but they would have, you know, a card with Willie Mays and Willie McCovey, and it would say Fence Busters or something on it. I was thinking of these three guys, and they would be on a card with some, you know, bear arms or something. But it's a loaded group, and it's just, it's really interesting to me, too, to hear them talk so in depth and so detailed about the, for lack of a better cliche, the craft of pitching, because, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but it just seems to me like back in my day, it was like, yeah, so-and-so's got a strong arm. He's going to chuck it hard. We'll probably win because he can throw hard. You know, now they're dialed in talking about, you know, intention and, you know, all these different things that they're doing out on the mound. So, I don't think that high school sports has probably ever been at a higher level than it is now. And in that vein, Olympia's baseball team is perhaps going to rise to the top of our area anyway in that same manner.
And I believe you're working on a feature to come out sometime soon. Is that right?
Yeah, that will come out later in the week, perhaps on Tuesday. But, yeah, we'll have a newspaper article based on those interviews. And we'll see how Ole does in their league, which of course is always tough in almost every sport, but you got to give them a pretty good shot at finishing high, that's for sure.
All right. Well, thank you for all of that. That is going to wrap it up for today. The Olympia Bears do play Grant Kapausen this afternoon at 4 if you want to go to that game. Last week, we reminded you that the Olympia and Beyond Sports Commission Sports Awards are coming back. Nominations are open through June 30th. We do have a link up on the website. Go to On Air, look for High School Sports. You'll find the picture of Dave and I there, and scroll all the way to the bottom. You'll find the link that you can go and vote for high school male and female, college male and female, sports influencer, some other stuff. Go and do that. Anyway, show, thank you. Brought to you in part by the passion for high school sports that we held deeply here, hold at KGY. But mostly it's brought to you by our sponsors, and we certainly hope that you will support them. Thank you to our producer, Kevin the Brit Huffer, for always being here in the morning. Thank you for listening this morning, because if you missed something, you can find the podcast on KGY FM. Join us next Friday morning for The Baseline right here on Olympia's Own 95.3 KGY.